not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sarah, Oklahoma. Happy Thursday, everybody. It's not hot, but it's warm out there. It's getting there, though. 88 degrees at Hollis, 89 at Hobart, 86 at Arnett, 86 at Slapout, 85 at the May Ranch, 85 in Lahoma, and looks like Camargo, home of my old cousin, is a hot spot in the whole state of Oklahoma, 90 degrees. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, 86 degrees at Lipscomb, 87 at Miami, 87 at Dozier, 88 at Wellington, and 88 at Odell. All right, I need to know something. So my buddy, he's going to the VA hospital out Amarillo, and he said it's almost as he gets into Amarillo coming from Pampa, that he can still hear the show. I want to see if anybody's way out there between, say, Pampa and Lake McClellan, that area out there towards Amarillo. Anybody listening out there? If you are, shoot me a text. 580-225-9697. Just want to see how far the range is out there, because we might have to start making fun of some people in Amarillo if this is true. No, just kidding. All my friends in Texas are good guys. So, all right. Except if you're a Longhorn fan. We'll move on from that. Let's see here. First of all, I want everybody to please say a prayer and be thinking about the Rhodes family. Cotton King's mom passed away yesterday. So, my condolences going out to the Rhodes and the Ferris family. That's a bit, Ferris family's a big family over there in Ouachita County, but Mrs. Rhodes passed away yesterday due to some health issues. And like I said, condolences going out to Jimmy and Tammy and all the rest of the family there for her passing yesterday. So, okay, what else we got going on today? Man, just everything. I looked at the board a while ago. The grains are going off the chart. So let's see what's happening. If I figured it out, maybe some paper people's got something going on with this. There's no reason for it to be going crazy, but you never know. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading on technical buying and amid signs of demand for U.S. grain. Investors who were short the market or had bet on lower prices may have bought back contracts on indication that prices may be low enough to spur demand. Overseas buyers have committed to buying 11 million metric tons of U.S. wheat since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st, according to data from the USDA. That's up 24% from the same period last year. Corn, whose sales since the start of its marketing year on September 1st, are up 26% year over year. Also got a boost overnight on signs of demand. Colombia purchased 100 million tons of U.S. corn, Mexico 125 million tons, all for delivery in the 25-26 marketing year, which started at the beginning of September. A John Doe buyer bought 124,000 metric tons of corn for delivery in the next marketing year, the USDA announced last Monday. Exporters also said Mexico purchased 228,606 metric tons of U.S. soybeans for deliveries in the 25-26 season. The USDA is scheduled to release its weekly sales report sometime this morning, and I haven't seen it yet. Wheat for September delivery added 5.25 to 533.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures were up 3.25 to 526.5 a bushel. Corn futures for December gained a penny to 405 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell a half penny to 10.35 and a half a bushel. Soy meal was down 130 to 295.90 a short ton, and soybean oil added 0.28 cents to 51.73 a pound. Thursday's ethanol days around here. Ethanol output dropped to the lowest level in almost 3 months, while inventories eked out of a little bit of a small gain, according to the EIA. Production rose to average 1.072 million barrels a day in the week that ended on August 15th. That's down from 1.093 barrels the previous week. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, production was at 1.018 million barrels a day, down about, 10,000 barrels? That'd be right. Yep, 10,000 barrels from the week prior. Gulf Coast also declined to 26,000 barrels per day on average from 28. Rocky Mountain and West Coast were both down by 1,000 barrels to an average of 8,000 barrels a day. East Coast was the lone region whose output didn't fall, and it was unchanged at 12,000 barrels a day. Ethanol stockpiles, meanwhile, rose narrowly to 22.688 million barrels in the week through August 15th. That's up from 22.649 million barrels. There you go. Not much, according to the National Weather Service, not a whole lot going on in our farm belt. I know if you are planning on headed over to the East Coast, I wouldn't bother taking your swimming suit unless you're going in the swim pool. I guess the tides and the surfs are really rough over there from that hurricane out there, so don't be going in the waters on the East Coast for a while anyway. That's about it. Nothing major going on weather-wise. Man, if their predictions are correct, notice I use the word prediction, is anywhere close to being right next week, Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle, we might get some pretty good rain. So if you're not already sowing, you will be after next week if we get anything close to the rain they're calling for. So had a friend of mine call me yesterday. Looks like fertilizer prices are not too whippy right now. They're pretty high. And fertilizer, you know, one of our main ingredients, but we got to have it. And see, be interesting to see what fertilizer sales are compared to last year. I think it's up quite a bit from last year. So we'll see how things go. Other than that, not much going on in our ag belt, just farm belt, ag belt, same thing, right? And just not a lot going on. Just looking, beef prices have stabilized a little bit on the board today. We'll see what happens with the sale barn, some of the sale barns around the state today, and see what happens tomorrow right here at the Elk City Livestock Auction. It'll start in the morning. Got any cows or just any cattle to sell at all, give Brandon Hickey a call there. He'd be happy to talk to you. Okay, well, the day is, I forgot something. I didn't remember. I don't know why. It's my favorite day of the week. New Penny News comes out. New Penny News is out, and fresh. Yep, I can smell the fresh ink off of this one. I just went and got it. I hadn't looked at it. I usually look at it after the show on Thursday. But we got all kinds of good stuff going on here. Oh, that reminds me. I just seen this ad in here on page 9 with Kirk Feeds over at Sarah and Eric. I noticed that they have the Taylor Ranch beef sticks in there. So if you get a chance to try them out, get it done, and we're going to go ahead and take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. Brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. While we're on that break, I'm going to see what Jerry Nine's got to say in his little article in here. We might discuss that a little bit. We got lots to discuss today. We got some water issues going on in Oklahoma. Censuses are out, according to Farm Journal, not Farm Journal, but drovers on family farms have increased a little bit in the last year. And we're going to talk about some pork prices all coming up right after this Oklahoma Farm Bureau break.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
When you're out working in the shop and the garage this summer, stay comfortable with a Portacool Apex cooler. Napa Auto and Truck Parts in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton has compact spot coolers for the garage. They've also got high-powered units that cool up to 6,500 square feet. Each unit blasts cool air up to 60 feet and connects to your phone with the CoolSync app for remote control. They're quiet, efficient, and tough with a lifetime warranty on molded housings. Swing by your local Napa and get your Portacool Apex cooler and stay comfortable while you work this summer.
Reap the rewards of buying a new zero-turn mower from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. You'll enjoy discounted cash prices or financing with approved credit. Free t-shirt and cap, DJ's discounts, and a large selection of in-stock blades, belts, and OEM parts. They'll take care of any warranty work that needs to be done, and you'll have the peace of mind that comes with making a purchase from a business you know and trust. DJ's is your authorized Spartan, Cub Cadet, and Hustler mower dealer located on South Main in Elk City.
Cattle producers need cattle buyers. Buyers go where they'll know they'll get good stuff. That's why cattle buyers go 4 miles east to Clinton, Oklahoma every Monday morning. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction brings multiple feeder calf and cow buyers every week. This helps producers get the top of the market. That's why it's such a good place to bring your animals. WestOKLivestockAuction.com has the details. The sale every Monday morning at 10 o'clock has the beat.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This season, Army Worm, better watch out. Because your wheat is protected by Lumavia CPL insecticide seed treatment with a unique mode of action that starts at the seed, then moves through the plant to protect it from roots to shoots for strong stand establishment and better yield potential. Army worms, you're out of here. Learn more at Corteva.us/LumaviaCPL.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Wellington, Texas, 87 degrees, heat index at 89. Humidity is 49, dew point 66. The winds are out of the west at a whopping 3 miles an hour with whopping gusts at 7 miles an hour. 2.53 inches of rain so far this month of August. And 8-inch soil temperature, 84 degrees. All right, you guys ready for the Central Crop Care grain market update? Let's see what's happening. Looks like Christmas tree lights on here. September corn, 388, up 8. December, 412, up 8.5. Soybeans for September, 1033, up 18.5. November's up 19 at 1055. And soybean meal, September 294, 20, up 220. Soybean oil, September 5372, up 252. Wheat, what is it? Hard red winter wheat, September 504, up 3.25. December 527, up 3.75. Live cattle, August 238.32, down 20. October's 234.62, down 22. Feeders for August, 355.12, down 65. September's down 122 at 356.87. October's 356.95, down 72. Lean hogs, October 89.92, down 2 cents. That is your Central Crop Care Grain Market update for the hour. Okay, well, I couldn't help it. I was reading the Penny News. I'm going to share with you what Jerry Nine says. A lot of interesting things happen at a livestock auction. One buyer was telling me that another buyer had bought a set of feeder heifers that were not guaranteed open. That's the way it's spelled, guaranteed. When he had the veterinarian preg check them, they were all bred, so he resold them to a second buyer and did not say anything. And when the second buyer preg checked them and found they were bred, he took them to another sale barn. When he did, the original buyer bought them again and decided to complain to the second buyer about the heifers being bred. The second buyer reminded him, "Hey, I only bought them once, but you bought them twice." Okay, only thing I can see there is the vet come out on that deal. He got to preg check the same things twice. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will be spending up to $750 million to build a facility in Texas to produce sterile flies to combat the New World screwworm. Secretary Rollins said the U.S.-Mexican border will stay closed until the screwworm was pushed back further south into Mexico. So Jerry said, "I did a little checking on what the rancher's requirements was to deliver cattle to the border and was told that their cattle has to have a health permit that's no older than 45 days old. This makes sense why when the U.S. opened the border for a short time, why there were not an overload of cattle. Plus, you would be taking a risk on getting your cattle to that point. Then the border closes again, and when you get there, the closing had definitely helped out fat cattle and the feeder cattle market," he said. "I'm sure, though, this closure has devastated the Mexican cattle ranchers. To add to devastation, a lot of Texas feed yards have solely and heavily relied on Mexican calves and feeder cattle." And there you have it. His quote of the day is, "If at first you don't succeed, then skydiving is not for you." There's I guess I'll wait. My paper blew off the deal here. I'll wait till next deal. There's really, look in the Penny News back there. Grant's Auction's having a really, really nice gun auction coming up. And hang on. I think this is it. Got the fan blowing in here. Yeah, there it is. Gun auction. Coming up Saturday, this Saturday, August 23rd at 11 a.m. And it's going to be, where's it at? Where's it at? I can check it out. It will be at 1016 Industrial Road there in Elk City at the Convention Center. I knew that address. There's some couple of Henry Golden Boys in here that I would really be interested in it, because that one 17 HMR lever action has the large loop on it, not just the regular loop on it. And there's also a John Wayne commemorative Winchester 94 11 action going on. All kinds of great guns in here for sale. So that's coming on, starting Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Civic Center here in Elk City. I'm just going to guesstimate that it looks like there's 40 or a minimum of, no, here it is. This is just a partial list of approximately 200 guns going on. And there is a 5% buyer's premium on that one. So pretty interesting. Okay. water needs. We talk water almost weekly here, if not bi-weekly. And according to this, the water needs to get attention with the legislative subcommittee. Data centers consume a large amount of water for cooling purposes, and it's a topic raised by some who question whether new data centers will end up harming Oklahoma's water resources. For some legislators from Oklahoma, they plan to take a look at the water needs in the growing economy. Members of the House Appropriations and Budget Natural Resources Subcommittee plan a hearing Wednesday, September 24th at 9 a.m. The agenda includes the topic of effectiveness of rural water district rules and processes for newly formed municipalities. The discussion will take up the morning hours. Then in the afternoon, House members intend to discuss water needs in a growing economy. So water, water, water everywhere. California, Colorado, Iowa, or not Iowa, but Idaho, Oklahoma, Texas, all kinds of crazy stuff going on with water. So if I was a farmer, rancher, or somebody that depended on a lot on water, pay attention to what's going on with the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, et cetera, just keep an eye on what's going on, because whatever anybody's doing, whether it's the government at the Water Resources Board or at the Capitol, it affects you, whether you irrigate or use water for oil field, cattle water, just pay attention to it, because they're trying to, out in California, they're trying to force less farming so they can have more water for the municipalities. And Iowa, they're wanting to fighting between, not really fighting, but the old generation, old farmers in the old deer, not old farmers, but farmers in the old district, irrigation district, have first rights over the ones up in the new district. And it, they shut the water down last year on them right in the middle of potato growing season, and it cost a lot of stuff. So pay attention to your water rules, what's going on. See what's happening. All right, let's see here. A Texas A&M entomologist breaks down the New World screwworm eradication method. It's kind of interesting. The New World screwworm is a growing concern for not only the Texas agriculture industry, all of the cattle, and especially in Texas and their other. Their hunting industry there is bigger than the cattle industry, as the flesh-eating parasite makes its way north through Mexico. Governor Greg Abbott announced that at least $750 million will go to the new Texas facilities that we heard of at the Moore Air Base down in South Texas to prevent the spread of this pest and to sterilize some of these insects. Excuse me. Texas A&M head of entomology department, Dr. Philip Kaufman, talked about this technique that will be used to eradicate the pest. Sterile insect technique, that's the SIT or SIT, is a method involving raising thousands of insects, sterilizing them with radiation, and then releasing them into an invasive population. Why it works so well with all the new world with the New World screwworm is that the female fly will only mate once in her life, and if you can get her to mate with a sterilized male, then she won't lay any viable eggs, and therefore she won't have any offspring, Dr. Kaufman explained. While other forms of control against the pest, like, will involve spending thousands of dollars and lots of manpower to spray pesticides, Dr. Kaufman said this method doesn't have any environmental impacts, and that those sterile flies eventually all die, and they're using the fly's biology against it itself. SIT is a method usually used to control insect populations. However, the pest poses a large economic threat to the ag industry. The screw worm is a pest that is one of the few that we've decided eradication is the best approach because of the tremendous damage, he added. So that's how they do it, with radiation. Maybe they ought to try that a little bit in some human population. Just kidding. Don't anybody turn me in. Yep. All right. Today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Let's take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
Farming is no game, but when you're at the game and have the ability to control your irrigation in the field, it's a huge game changer. Valley Irrigation is where farming meets in-zone efficiency. With AgSense remote technology, farmers become MVPs of their fields. Real-time play-by-play control means you're always ahead of the game. Score big with irrigation technology from Valley. It's technology that improves your life and lets you beat the game and be in the game. Visit Knutson Irrigation to become the MVP of your field. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. They have your infield coverage and you're back.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room, we're signing the final pieces of paper and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner. And they're just elated. They're thrilled. They finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in five states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that, too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Report for Monday, August 18th. Five head of steers at 441 brought 470. 10 at 471 brought 445. 6 at 553 brought 410. 11 at 573 brought 395. 3 at 705 brought 320. 27 at 810 brought 336. 60 at 902 brought 329. 3 head of heifers at 398 brought 440. 6 at 523 brought 362.50. 7 at 667 brought 332. 30 at 669 brought 359.50. 10 at 704 brought 352. 55 at 749 brought 347.25. 12 at 754 brought 345.75. Butcher cows were 131 to 183. Butcher bulls brought 148 to 211. Bred cows were 1875 to 2750. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction 71. Clinton, Oklahoma, sell every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's get some ag weather from northwestern Oklahoma. Let's see here who to pick today. Let's just go with Woodward. How about that? If I can get it to pop up, right? Here we go. Woodward, currently it's 88, feels like 87. Dew point's 58, the humidity's 37. The winds are out of the north, northeast at 7 miles an hour. 91 is the three-day average four-inch bare soil temperature. Sunset 8:22, 93 today, 66 tonight, 95 tomorrow. No rain in the forecast just yet. Now, I took a temp gun the other day, and I took a temperature under my peanuts, not where I just irrigated, but where I was headed to, and it was 91 degrees on the bare surface right underneath the vines. And then I found a spot that didn't have any vines going over the top of it. It was 126 degrees. And this was in the middle of the afternoon. So nearly 30 degrees difference between bare soil and covered soil. So when you hear somebody like Kent Watkins with SEI or any of these people, Jimmy Emmons, anybody talking about soil health, when they say armor on the soil, they mean it. 30 degrees difference between the bare soil. And I noticed, where was it? The golf course? Oh, yeah. We had the club championship last weekend. I noticed that the golf course where it was, the grass was, Bermuda grass was being watered. You know, it was warm. It wasn't hot. But when you got outside that green grass out there where the grass was starting to burn because of the heat and stuff, holy moly, a lot of difference in temperature. So armor on the soil is a plus for sure. Some more hay news that hadn't been able to talk about this week, running out of time. The USDA has pegged the production of alfalfa and alfalfa mixed hay at 49.75 million tons, according to the latest crop production report, which is down slightly from last year. Area harvested was predicted at 14.9 million acres, but average yield per acre was expected to be around 3.51 tons per acre. All other hay, mostly grass, production was projected to hit 73.75 million tons, which is 1.5% more than last year. Area harvested was estimated at 35.5 million acres, with the average yield of pegged around 2.08 tons. All U.S. hay exports totaled 215 million tons in June, according to the USDA's Foreign Ag Service. This was down 7% year over year, but up 6% from May. The U.S. alfalfa hay exports totaled 141,000 metric tons. In June, alfalfa hay exports to China totaled 76,585 million tons, which was more than three times the volume shipped to China in May. The next largest volumes was to Japan and South Korea at 24,995 million tons and 13,813 million tons. All other hay, mostly grass, exports totaled 73,695 million tons. Japan led the charge with 41,000 million tons. South Korea, 16,757. Taiwan, 7,772 million tons of hay. A lot of hay. According to this, hang on here. Whoa. I got all kinds of crazy stuff going on here. What happened to it? I have to come back and find it in a minute. Sorry. I pushed the wrong button. My fault. That's what they get for hiring a dummy here. Okay, before we go to our next break, let's check out this email that I got from, you know who, Becky Carroll. Let's talk about pecans. She said, hello, everyone. I want to share a few timely updates on pecan management and invite you to our upcoming fall pecan field day. Pecans are now transitioning into gel and dough stages, and I went down there to our pecan grove and busted one open. What was it, yesterday morning before? And yes, she's exactly right. It's going into there. And invite you to our upcoming fall pecan field day. So pecans are now transitioning into a gel and dough stage. At this stage, females may start laying eggs and develop nuts. We're talking about the pecan weevil. Monitoring, check circle traps regularly. Traps should be tight against the trunk and full circling the tree to catch weevils as they crawl upward. Place traps on early ripening cultivars in sandy soils or in known hot spots. Timing. So many growers wait until the gel dose stage to make the first spray, then continue to monitor their traps to guide additional sprays. Don't stop too soon. Egg laying may extend into late September or even as early as October. Listen to this lady. She knows what she's talking about. Weather effects, rainfall, or irrigation triggers emerged with these weevils. Under dry conditions, weevil may emerge later than usual. Insecticides, multiple applications are often needed. Be aware that the broad spectrum sprays can flare aphids by killing beneficial insects, including a aphid with weevil sprays can help populations under control. How about that? I didn't know that. Let's see here. What else we got going on here? She said, talk about the black pecan aphid. Black pecan aphids are typically more problematic. If I slow down, I can pronounce stuff pretty easy in hot, dry conditions and can cause serious damage even in low numbers. Thresholds, 1 to 2 aphids per compound leaf can justify treatment. Damage, they cause distinct yellow spots that turn brown, leading to a premature leaf drop and potential defoliation. Look on the underside of the leaves, and there's a picture on here, and you can see them little boogers on the bottom side of those leaves in those yellow arrows. Aphids are very small, so close inspection is needed. So wear your glasses. We've had some damage already on where she's talking about here at a research station in Giles. And keep leaves on trees as long as possible, especially important heading into fall. Keeping the leaves on the trees as long as possible is very important. If you can find black aphids in your orchard, please let me know. A researcher is looking to collect some samples for a project. The fall pecan field day will be at the Hunter Frazier's Pecan Farm in Bixby, Oklahoma. That's up by Tulsa. It's on, what day is it? September 25th, a Thursday. Check in at 9 a.m. Program begins at 9:30 a.m. And AgCredit is providing the lunch. Cost is free. Registration is required to plan for lunch, though. So if you'll go to OSU Extension, go to Pecan Management, you'll find a link in there that you can register. She would like for you to register by September 19th, please. And I got to find out, since that's on a Thursday, maybe I can go up there and do a show if my boss will let me go to Tulsa so we can talk about pecans. Maybe, surely, somebody will have some pecan pies and stuff up there for us to snack on. You never know. All right, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Timber Oklahoma is your safe and reliable expert tree care service. At Timber, we provide professional tree trimming and removal with a focus on safety, quality, and clear communication. With over 10 years of experience and certified in the Electrical Hazards Awareness Program, our crews provide tree trimming and removal, storm damage garage cleanup, utility line clearance. Call Timber today at 580-732-3400 or see us online at www.timberokla.com or email us at customercare@timberokla.com.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County.
Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Money may not buy happiness, but it can buy a bag of cotton candy, a burger, a rodeo ticket, and the chance to see some pretty darn good bull riding, barrel racing, and all the other rodeo events, too. Hi, everybody. Wayne Brooks here inviting you to the Rodeo of Champions in Elk City, August 29th, 30th, and 31st to watch the best rodeo action around. Brought to you by Barbara Dyson Ford. Get your tickets online at elkcityrodeo.com. It's the Elk City Rodeo, August 29th, 30th, and 31st. See you there.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts, all the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
My papa started Hutton Inc. in 1983.
And now our uncle runs it just like papa did.
We're learning the ropes too, because this isn't just dirt work, it's family legacy.
From GPS guided earthwork to excavation, house and building pads, topsoil and aggregate sales, drainage repair, forklift and man lift rentals, Hutton Inc. does it all.
3 generations strong, we move the earth and your future.
Call Hutton Inc. at 580-225-0225.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check out some weather in southwestern Oklahoma. Brought to you by Hover Farm and Garden. Martha, 89 degrees, feels like 95. Heat risk is moderate. Dew point 71, humidity's 56. Winds are out of the northeast at 4. 46 one-hundredths of an inch of rain so far in the last 10 days. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 90 degrees. Sunset, 8:19. Mostly sunny and 95, mostly clear and 68 tonight, and sunny and hot again tomorrow at 95 with no winds so far. Okay, a couple things I need to discuss with you folks before we get on with some ag news. Today at 5 o'clock on BigElkTV.com, the Elk City Elkettes are at Clinton. And that would be, yep, 5 o'clock. That's the one on Big Elk TV at 5 o'clock. Go watch it. Softball season's here. It's awesome. Coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend, August 29th, 30th, and 31st, is the 87th Annual Rodeo of Champions. 3 performances, Friday at August 29th at 8 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. on the 30th, Sunday, August 31st, also at 8 p.m., PRCA rodeo action, everything from roping, riding, wrestling, and steer wrestling. I don't know why they didn't put wrestling in there. Bucking broncs and everybody's favorite, bull riding. Never a dull moment when cowboys tie themselves like toothpicks to the back of a bull and cowboys turf 400-pound steers to the ground. Parade is Saturday, August the 30th at 10 a.m. Dr. Pepper Night is Friday, August the 29th, Elk City. Kids age 12 and under get to get in free to bleacher seating with a Dr. Pepper can. Bring a Dr. Pepper can, you get in free. Go purple, wear purple to the rodeo on August 31st and bring awareness to Alzheimer's and dementia. The Western Oklahoma Alzheimer's Collaborative, benefits are on this night. New, the Wisconsin FMX. Dirt bikes take to the arena during hair-raising flips, spins, and turns 30 foot in the air. Returning to the rodeo this year is Dusty Myers, rodeo clown, to make fun, make fans laugh, and to protect the riders. The Great Bucking Horses and Bulls are Butler and Son Rodeo Company right here in Beckham County. We'll aim to buck off the Cowboys. Tickets are $20 to $25 for grandstand seating, $15 for bleacher seating, $10 for kids, bleacher seating only, 6 to 12. Get your tickets online at www.elkcityrodeo.com or Circle A Western Wear, Barbara Dyson Ford, all right here in Elk City, or at the ticket office at Butler Brothers Arena, August 25th through 29th only. Not today, and you can get them at the gate if available. For more information, www.elkcityrodeo.com or Margo at 405-317-7161. Pork prices. I haven't talked about pork prices in a while. Retail pork prices hit record high levels this summer and are expected to remain elevated heading into the holiday season, according to the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. In July, average retail prices, pork prices, reached the highest point. I'm checking on something real quick here. I don't see anything going on. Let's start over. In July, average retail pork prices reached the highest point of the year, $5.01 per pound, up from $4.92 a year, said David Anderson, Professor David Anderson, with the AgriLife Extension Livestock Food Marketing Economist and Professor in Texas A&M College of Ag and Life Science Departments at Bryan College. Supplies remain tight as U.S. pork production has edged lower due to reduced sow numbers despite gains in productivity per litter. Consumers should expect higher prices this fall because production is about the same as last year, and we're not seeing any expansion in the herd. Without more production, prices are going to stay high. Wholesale prices for several key cuts, including ham, pork bellies, trimmings used for sausage, are well above year ago levels, Anderson said. However, pork loins are a relative bargain at $1.13 per pound wholesale compared to $1.26 a year ago. Seasonal shifts in consumer demand also shape the market, with ribs and shoulders popular for summer grilling, while hams gain momentum into the fall and winter holidays. Despite the record high prices, David Griffin with Ag Extension, with Texas AgriLife Extension, he's a meat specialist in the Department of Animal Science, says pork remains competitively price protein with compared to beef and poultry. Packers and retailers are already looking for hams for Thanksgiving and Christmas, with bellies and the bacon market they supply continuing to hold strong demand. Pork is in a good spot right now to provide affordable protein options for consumers, especially with beef prices remaining very high, Griffin says. While Texas is not among the nation's top pork-producing states, the industry plays a role in both commercial and niche markets. A major operation in the Texas Panhandle supplies hogs to a large processing plant, but most of the state's production capacity remains small in scale compared to Midwest states. I think they're up north Canadian, aren't they, between there and Perrington? Am I right or wrong? And there are big hog houses up in that area. smaller scale producers are and processors across the state also serve foreign and domestic ethnic markets to prefer lighter hogs for whole carcass or specialty cuts. While Texas may trail other states in pork production, it does have a unique 50 million a year show pig industry serving thousands of youths who raise animals for major stock shows each year. Many of those animals ultimately make it into the food chain, while breeding gilts helps sustain herds. Nothing like that goat out there in California they wanted to take home. So, okay, there we go. See, looks like, according to Texas AgriLife, Mexico continues to be their strongest partner with pork sales, while China's demand has dropped significantly due to trade barriers. Those shifts ultimately feed back into the U.S. market and help explain why prices remain firm across most cuts. He said, Professor Anderson said, and Griffin both said, looking ahead, expect pork prices to stay strong through the holiday season, particularly for ham and bacon, which see peak demand in November and December, while some cuts like pork loins and trimmings may ease later in the year. Overall, tight supplies and steady demand are likely to keep retail prices near record highs. That. So I've read the first two ProTour crop reports from Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota, and I can't remember where, Indiana, I believe. Well, they went, this ProTour stopped in Iowa, and man, their yields are crazy in those states. So in District 1, their expected yield, despite some disease pressures going on, was 197.89 bushels, up 12% from last year and up almost 10% versus a three-year average. District 4 was at 207.25 bushels, up 5.82% and up 14% from the three-year average. And then District 7 in Iowa came in at 195.03 bushel. This is dry land corn, up 1.80 versus 2024 and up almost 7% from the three-year average. It says here in District, let's pick the biggest one right here. Let's go to District 4. It says the yield estimate is at 207.25 bushels per acre compared to 195.86 last year. Ear count is 102.86 compared to 100.09 last year. Grain length is 7.26 compared to 7.08 last year. Kernel counts around 16.60 kernels around the ear and or the cob, and 16.4 was last year. Pretty crazy numbers. Looks like the kernel count around the ears are about the same through the whole state. A little bit over 16.4 to 16.62 kernels going around there. That's pretty interesting. If you get a chance to read a story, go to Farm Journal, Google Farm Journal, and there's a story about where these the Department of Labor in 2015 took over, went in there and fined a vegetable farmer up there in New Jersey, Marino. He's Italian, and him and his brother, they come in there and closed him down, fined him over $500,000, and they've been fighting him in the court since. It's too long for my show, but go in there and read that article on that. It's pretty interesting what the Department of Labor does not have to go through the court system. They got their own lawyers, they got their own judges, they got their own panels. So I guess they fought them for 9 years and finally won and got shut their farm down. So it's a pretty interesting story. Okay, Family farms comprise 95% of all U.S. farms, according to the 22 Census of Ag Farm Topology Report. The report primarily focuses on family farm, defined as any farm where the majority of the business is owned by the producer and the individuals related to the producer. The report classifies all farms into unique categories based on two criteria: who owns the operation and where the gross cash farm income. So 95% of all U.S. farms are family farms. 1.9 million farms, to be exact. Okay. Guess we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma.